Let's turn together in our Bibles to John chapter 17. We are continuing together our look at Jesus' prayers to his Father, Jesus' Father prayers, as Jesus is on the way to the cross. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 17 this morning once again. There are three occasions in this particular prayer of the Lord Jesus called the great high priestly prayer of Jesus, that he offers up to his Father on the night in which he is betrayed. This is Thursday evening before Good Friday. There are three occasions where he specifically addresses his Father. We looked at the one referenced in verse 1 last time. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. We're going to be focusing in on verse 11 this morning. In the middle section of this prayer, Jesus turns to pray for us, and that's the encouragement that we want to be looking at together this morning. Jesus prays for us. Let's give our attention to the Holy Word of God. John chapter 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I've manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the holy word of God. Thanks be to God. I direct our attention this morning. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open if you're able, to verse 11 as our text, Jesus' next particular reference to his Father. Verse 11, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, during these days, perhaps you have already been encouraged, and maybe you've been an encouragement to others. When you hear words like, or when you speak words to the effect, "I will be praying for you." When someone tells us they're praying for us in the midst of difficult times, we take courage. We find comfort. We are blessed. And it is a particular blessing for us to appreciate here this morning that what we're looking at in John chapter 17 reminds and assures us of the fact that Jesus Christ is praying for us. Jesus is praying for his people. Jesus is the one who ever lives to make intercession for us, as Hebrews 7 verse 25 says. And he saves to the uttermost all those who come to the Father through him. So there's a great encouragement for every one of us to run to God our Father, run to the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. The way has been made open, and Jesus has been praying for such. Jesus has been praying that we would live in that joy and in that confidence. Now, the words of John chapter 17 are part of what we have called Jesus' high priestly prayer. These are words he uttered to the Father just before he went to the cross. On the night before, he would be arrested in the garden and taken and brought to trial and brought to be crucified on that Good Friday that would follow. But these words for us also teach us something of how the Lord Jesus now, the risen Savior, continues to pray for us at the right hand of his Father. If we recall from last time, we had seen together that Jesus had said at verse 1, "The hour has come. Father, glorify your Son." Jesus knows the time has come for him to go to the cross. And we see in this prayer that he utters his love, his devotion, his commitment to make it happen, his commitment to go the way of death, to go to the cross and bear our curse for our salvation. We could be encouraged by that. But as we'll see it, as we get to verse 6 here this morning, we also recognize that Jesus Christ now turns a corner, so to speak, and in these verses that follow, 6 through just about verse 23 or so, he is praying for us. And what an encouragement that is. Jesus prays for us. We can be encouraged here this morning because it gives us great comfort and confidence in knowing we are safe in the love of God, safe in the care of a faithful God and Father in Jesus Christ. We're going to see in the second place, as we make our way through this passage briefly this morning, that we are also set apart. We're called to be different and enabled to be different because Jesus prays for us. It says something about our character. And then finally, in the third place, we are able to recognize our calling. We are also sent out with this message. We've been blessed with this confidence and this joy in the Lord Jesus Christ in order that we may tell others. And that's what we want to be appreciating by virtue of the fact that Jesus is praying for us here. So in the first place, we recognize we are safe. Our first point in terms of Jesus praying for us is the confidence we may have. We are safe. In the context of these words in these chapters of John, Jesus had already said, "Where I am going, you cannot come with me now." And we would say, thanks be to God, we don't have to go with him to the cross. He will do that on his own. And when he says he's going to the cross and where he is going, we also have in view what comes after the cross. His burial, yes, but his resurrection and then his ascension to the right hand of God. And his being seated there as king over all for the good of the church. We don't go with him there now, but we will one day be there with him. Jesus, in praying for our particular safety here, as that's expressed in verse 11, "Father, keep them through your name," is an acknowledgement that when Jesus leaves us here on this earth, it will not always be easy. He had told us, in this world, you're going to have trouble. In this world, there will be tribulation. In this world, we face much difficulty. There is opposition. There is persecution. There is disease. There is pestilence. And these are the effects of the fall into sin, the realities that we are called to deal with. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I have kept them by your name." He keeps us in safety. We want to understand what that means and what it doesn't mean. We want to be encouraged in what Jesus Christ has to say. And we also need to appreciate, as we see at verse 14, that Jesus had said, "I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." We need to acknowledge that there's something for us to appreciate about what Jesus is saying when he says the world has hated them. Not that we are to live with any sort of a martyr complex. Not that we are to live in sort of a melodramatic way, in sort of a childish way, going around saying, "They hate me, they really hate me." The Lord Jesus Christ would not have us live with that sort of a fear. But he would have us understand that because he has given us his word, those who take no delight in the word, those who have no sense of the importance of the word, will think we're just kind of strange. And in that sense, it's true what Jesus says. They will hate us because he has given us his word. So, the Lord Jesus Christ has also told us that we should be those who, as far as depends upon us, are at peace with all men. You can read that in Romans 12, verse 18. We're to be those, as 1 Peter 4, verse 15 tells us, are not those who suffer as evildoers because of the foolish, the dumb things, the arrogant things we do. But perhaps at times we may suffer for righteousness, but not to be discouraged, because the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered for us, and he is with us. And the encouragement is that he keeps us. Now, what does it mean that he keeps us? Does it mean that he keeps us from all harm and danger? Not necessarily, not here in this life, not in this day and age. Does it mean that we're immune from any form of illness or sickness? Not that at all. Indeed, we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's a reality that we're not immune from, even as Christians. We need to be real about that. And yet we can be confident in that because he is with us. The Lord Jesus has, as he's uttered it to his Father, kept us by his grace. "Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me." We thank God that he keeps us. He keeps us for eternity. He keeps us in the sense that nothing in all creation, neither death nor life nor anything, is going to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And how can we know that? Because Jesus has told us, and precisely because he's told us, we are encouraged in that Jesus is praying for us. We may feel unsafe. We may feel concerned about the things that are happening round about us. And we ought not to be naive, we ought not to be reckless as we live in the midst of these particular days. But neither should we be those who are taken up and paralyzed by fear or given to any sort of hysteria. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. God our Father has us in his hands, and things are going to be okay in that sense, no matter what we are called to endure or to go through. Jesus, in praying this way, understands full well that we will have to go through a lot. But thanks be to God, we are not called to go through what he went through for us on our behalf, his going to the cross. So because Jesus prays for us, we are safe. We want to see in the second place, because Jesus prays for us, we are set apart. We are set apart. Jesus had said already at 17 verse 8, I've given to them, the ones you have given to me, I've given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. They've believed that you sent me. Verse 10, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. If we saw before that the Lord Jesus Christ was praying that he would be glorified in his going to the cross and our being able to see just how much he has loved sinners, just what extent he would go to in order to have us saved. Now he's saying, and now I am glorified further in them that you've given to me. People can see by the way that they live that they belong to me. People can see and understand that they have put their trust in me, that they're resting in me. Jesus goes on at 17, verse 13, now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus is praying, Father, I want them to be glad. I want them to be full of joy in that they may be used to bring glory to my name in the midst of this world. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That's the blessing of our keeping. We're kept for eternity. We're kept from the snares of the devil. We're kept from being sucked in to the wiles of the devil. And yet the Lord has not yet, in his wisdom or his mercy, taken us out of this world. He's left us here. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. Make them different. Set them apart. And you recognize that as we have taken hold of the word that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us, we come to understand we didn't give that blessing to ourselves. It is the gift of God's grace. And as we understand that we have what we need here in the Bible for faith and for godliness, for the way forward, for the challenges that are yet to come, we know that we are being equipped. He's given us his word, and he is sanctifying us by his word. And we recognize that as we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has promised us, it makes us different. And certainly that being different will be reflected in lives of confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we're not boasting as though we had given anything to ourselves. We're not suggesting we have no fears or there is no anxiety in our lives, but there is an underlying confidence for every child of God, every Christian, everyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know we can stand apart. We can stand out, paying attention to all of the responsibilities we have, all of the protocols that are set over against us today. We can nevertheless stand out as those who are different, who are seeking to live lives to the glory of God. We have our joy fulfilled in us in knowing we have life in Jesus Christ. And we desire to honor God according to His law, to be sanctified, to be made holy, to walk in the way that Jesus walked, to be different. And that being different is not indeed anything that we have given to ourselves. It's not being a sanctimonious busybody. That being different is our humble, by God's grace, gracious acknowledgement. We are Christ's. We are His, and He is ours. And our lives, our times are in His hands. And if we acknowledge that that being different is a challenge, not always easy. We have our own fears. We have our own deep concerns. Be encouraged in knowing this much. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying that we may be the people He calls us to be, that we may stand strong and secure, that we may be confident in walking uprightly and being a blessing and being an example of the confidence we have by God's grace. Jesus is praying for us to that end. And finally, this morning, we also want to see with regard to this prayer that Jesus has for us, that we are sent, we have a calling, we have a responsibility. Again, I pick up at verse 15. Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. We're still here. The Lord Jesus has not called us home yet. And He does not, He will not sort of zap us out of this place. He has a task for us. There is a responsibility that we have to speak of this blessing we have come to know in Jesus Christ. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus prays for His own. He prays that we'll be kept. He prays that we'll be confident and that our character will reflect His. But He also prays that we'll be bold to be a blessing and to talk about Him, to point to Him, to tell others about Him, that hope comes from the Lord. All of these circumstances in this day have many people casting about in anguish, in fear, in frustration, in bewilderment, in confusion. But we have been given hope, and we have been sent into this world as those who may speak of the hope that is within us. Jesus understood that His being sent into the world would mean much difficulty for Him. He would have to go to the cross. Our being sent as He has been sent will mean challenge for us. It means we'll have to put ourselves forward. I'm not talking about being unwise. I'm talking about our finding ways to be of encouragement to our neighbor, to find ways with whatever means we may use, with whatever technology is necessary to speak of the blessing of knowing Jesus Christ. Understand that Jesus has been and is also praying for all of those who will believe through the word that we speak to them. And if I speak to any this morning who are wondering what any of this is all about, who are wondering if there is hope for you, let me encourage you. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is indeed praying for all those who will believe through this word that is going forth. And we may know and we may be confident that Jesus Christ will be heard. Every one of Jesus' prayers is answered. He saves to the uttermost all those who come to the Father through him, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's always praying this prayer. So be encouraged as well in your responsibility, beloved, to speak about this Jesus. It's not easy. And there are things that we may be afraid about, but Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you to that end. And Jesus' prayers are effective and powerful. What a comfort to know our lives are safe in his hands. We're safe for eternity. Not spared from any difficulty, but we're safe for eternity. And look forward to the day when all things will be made gloriously new. We have been saved to be different, and we've been saved to be his messengers. May God use us and encourage us in this glorious blessing, because Jesus prays for us. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, loving Lord, we praise you for the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How glorious, how beautiful, how wonderful, how marvelous. And we praise you that because of Jesus' work and his work in us and his prayers for us, Jesus is also glorified in us. And we thank you that our joy may be full in the knowledge that our times are in good hands. We are ultimately and utterly safe for all eternity. We know that you do not spare us, O Lord, from difficulty, even from hardship or illness, disease or death. But we also know that we who put our trust in Jesus, the resurrection and the life, though we die, we shall yet live. We thank you that by your grace we believe this. And we pray, Father, for all who are gathered here and all who are listening in, that we may believe this, that we may take great comfort as we rest in Jesus Christ, and that our lives may declare this blessing, this confidence to those around us and be used of you, that others as well will believe through this word. Comfort us and encourage us, strengthen us, give us wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.